patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
This is our second take. I'm pulling down the fourth wall, everybody. This is the second time we've done this intro. Hello and welcome to the walk-off on a Wednesday, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. We have, surprisingly, lots to get to on the show today. We're going to talk the bearded dragon and Yusei Kikuchi's continued success throughout spring. We're going to get into the bubble spots on this team and talk a little bit of Wynton Bernard for everyone who has not heard the name or maybe saw him in spring training and was like, who the hell is this guy? We will answer that question. Pitching lab. Brandon Barriera on the same trajectory of Ricky Tiedemann for his development and the way that the Blue Jays are going to go about his development. We'll kind of get into just the fact that this is a little bit different than what the Blue Jays have done in the past and what we can expect to see in the future. Long-term contracts. This one drew my attention. Jeff Passan tweeted out something yesterday about the Rays and their top prospect, or one of them, Curtis Meade, and the fact that they are in talks for a long-term extension with him. This guy, Adam, has yet to play in Major League Baseball. So we will talk what your thoughts are on that and what everyone in the comments section feels about the Rays finding every way possible for a small market team to get an advantage.
there was a funny comment on that Jeff Passan tweet. It was like, how can they extend something that doesn't exist yet? Interesting little.
And we have been busy boys with our interviews. We are going to release a couple more interviews this week, tomorrow, and Saturday. We'll tease those interviews as well as let you know who we have coming up. Actually, a member of the Canadian World Baseball Classic is going to join us. So we'll tease all that coming up. Okay, this is the Wednesday show. So what we've done is we've taken on a brand new sponsor. Some of you may have seen it over the last week. It's been kind of a soft sell, but KK Poker is a poker site that has decided, and we're very grateful, to help support the walk-off and the community here. So if you are a poker player, if you sign up to KK Poker, they're going to throw you an extra $50 just for doing so. Which would match the $50 you put in. And then they're going to top you off with another $20. And to get this, all you need to do, if you are playing poker online anyways, might as well get some free shekels, right? That's the walk-off. Walk-off is the code. All right. Walk-off, all one word. Of course, we appreciate you supporting those who support us. Let's get into it. Yusei Kikuchi, the bearded dragon, the fifth starter in this Blue Jays rotation, and he's really locking that in. It is pretty apparent that it is his spot to lose. And I mean, it felt like this right off the start of spring, right, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked that all season, was that it was going to be his job to lose. Hopefully he had made the adjustments in the offseason. Hopefully he comes back confident, with a beard rearing to go, does have a beard, does seem to have a little bit more confidence. Maybe it's not confidence. Maybe it's the pitch clock kind of forces him to get out of his own way a little bit.
I agree that that's probably one of the reasons that he is looking so much better. I know that there was going to be some real competition for this fifth spot. Yes, it was Yusei's to lose. However, Mitch White was in the conversation, and obviously Mitch White doesn't have options remaining, so they can't stuff him in AAA. And there was a lot of talk that Mitch White just Yusei Kikuchi projected better out of the bullpen out of the two guys. Now, Mitch White had a bit of a setback and probably isn't going to even start the season on this roster. He's dealing with some injury problems. They're not going to rush him. It's early in the season. There's no reason to push a guy March. What are we sitting here? Sixth or seventh, whatever it
March
is.
March 8th. Happy birthday to your brother.
Hey, happy birthday to Adam's brother. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. March 8th.
Not going to tell you how many days old he is, but there you go.
Well, a happy birthday there. Okay.
Yusei Kikuchi, here's the thing with Yusei Kikuchi. We've known all along this was his job to lose. The big news is he hasn't lost it yet. Mm-hmm. Three outings. He's looked like all you could hope for.
As good as he can.
Yusei Kikuchi, right?
He hasn't allowed a run. His strikeouts are up. His ground balls are up.
No, it is spring training. So we do have to remind ourselves this is not necessarily a murderer's row of batting orders that he's facing. Even the top tier MLB players he's pitching against, they're not in midseason form either. But
now that said, and you bring this up all the time,
you know where I'm
going
with this.
Exactly.
We'll take a good,
yes, it's a small sample size
over a bad small sample size. So we'll take it.
Every time. And John Schneider actually came out in the press conference yesterday after the game and he brought this up. He said that he loves what he's seeing out of Yusei, and it is definitely his spot to lose at this point. This isn't new news, but again, it's like Adam said, right? I would rather a good small sample size than a bad small sample size. We've watched Yusei Kikuchi make the All-Star game with the Seattle Mariners in 2021. He's got the stuff in him to be a dominant pitcher. This wouldn't be the first time Major League Baseball has seen that out of him. And I like a little confidence goes a long ways, right? He came in to a new city, a new country, a new team last year. And yes, as Major League Baseball players who are making $36 million over 3 years, it's easy for fans to push the humanity out of it, right? And be like, you're getting paid enough. You should perform. Doesn't always work that way. And if we can get even a 4.5 ERA out of Yusei Kikuchi in 2023, it's going, and 150 innings, even 140 innings. My goodness, that would just be absolutely incredible for this Blue Jays organization, for the bullpen, for the depth, for just not needing to dip into waters that you don't want to dip into in the major league season. I don't think we need to spend too much more time on Yusei Kikuchi. However, seeing seven innings, no runs, an increase in strikeouts, and a decrease in walks. I mean, it's early, but keep it up. Like, thumbs up. Exactly. Okay, so I did want to talk the bubble spots on this roster, and you know what? The guys vying for these spots are not making things any easier. I've actually been really impressed with what we have seen out of Addison Barger to this point in spring. Nathan Lucas has looked excellent, both as a defensive outfield option and at the plate. He's taken some walks. He's gotten some hits. Spencer Horowitz has done the same thing. Now there is, and I actually got messaged about this, and this is why we're bringing it up. I just figured we wouldn't wait a week for the mailbag to talk about this, but Wynton Bernard. Okay. He was playing for the Colorado Rockies last year. He was a guy being yo-yoed up and down. He wasn't a full-time major league player, has never been a full-time major league player. He's 32 years old. He has 10 years of minor league experience, of pro ball experience, and affiliate experience. The guy has been around and seen it all. Is this the dude you would like as your fourth outfielder? He hits right. He's got a ton of speed, and he does play left, right, and center. They've got three guys who can play center. I'm not sure if it's necessarily maybe as advantageous for him to play all three outfield positions as it would be on maybe a different team that didn't already have a bunch of versatility there. But Wynton Bernard, he's kind of stood out. He's looked good, and he's running the base path. That's one of his top skills is his base running, and he's looked good doing it. I don't think that this is a direction they take, but that's who Winton Bernard is.
Okay, so Winton Bernard, speedster. Three stolen bases last year. 42 games. Three stolen bases. He has one so far in spring training. What am I missing here, Scott?
Well, Adam, if he doesn't get on base, it's tough to steal bases. And this is why he has been a fringe player the entirety of his career. I don't think we're going to see anything new out of 32-year-old Winton Bernard. I really do believe this. He is what he is. It does add a little bit of depth, though. And that fourth outfield spot is obviously up for grabs with this Blue Jays team. I think that it makes far more sense to hand it to a guy that you are still questioning where his ceiling is, a guy like Addison Barger, where, you know, he isn't who he is yet. You can't take Addison Barger's baseball card and be like, okay, well, his career average over his minor league stints is what we're going to see all the time. That's not the way development works. Addison Barger's 23. He's 9 years younger. I don't need to explain this to anyone. Everyone knows why it makes more sense to give our young up-and-coming prospects the opportunity. But to have that seasoned vet fighting for that spot, I do think that it increases the competition level and increases what we will see out of these younger prospects.
Okay, so I want to put Winton Bernard off to the side. He's my last choice. No yes. offense. I recognize 1,000 times better than I am at baseball. Of the other three you mentioned, so we got Barger, Lukes, Horwitz. Mm-hmm. Which of these three, if any of them, made camp with this team? Which of these three would you?
If I'm a betting man, I think that it is Nathan Lukes. He's a right-handed bat, right? Can you double check that for me? I know that
MLB.com has him as a left-handed bat.
Okay, so Lukes is left, Horwitz is left, Addison Barger is left. So I guess it's irrelevant. The one thing Bernard does have going for him is that he's a righty, and that is something that would fit in nicer as that fourth outfielder. But I mean,
that's what we've been saying all year, right? Is these Blue Jays two left-handed?
We need a righty. Yeah, that's it. Well, it feels good just to be on the other side of the coin, in all honesty. Okay, I don't know, man.
Here's what I'll say with Lukes. He's the old guy relative to the other two.
He's what, 26?
Barger's 23, Horwitz 25, Lukes, whatever, is 28.
So, oh, Lukes is 28. Okay.
So, you know, as a primary outfielder, that fourth outfield spot feels like more up for grabs than a third first baseman or a fourth utility second baseman.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it feels like the Espinal, Merrifield, Biggio spot is kind of where Addison Barger fits behind on the depth chart.
Yes. It's
behind that cluster. And then Spencer Horwitz behind Vladdy and Brandon Belt. So
Lukes makes the most sense positionally, I think. He's a better outfielder than both Barger and Horwitz. Both Barger and Horwitz do have reps in the outfield. Both can play left field. But you kind of summed it up. If you're Addison Barger, you definitely are considered behind that group of Merrifield, Biggio, Espinal at second base. And even though, yes, he does play some third, you're not knocking off Chapman. Yes, he plays some left field. I would rather see Addison Barger on this team, I think, than any of the other guys, just because of the potential that he has. And positional versatility, man, is not a bad thing to have. A guy who can play some outfield and all three of the major infield positions in second, short, and third, right? So,
not at all. I will say with the Espinal, Merrifield, Biggio trio there, we talked about it with Yusei Kikuchi off the start here, the idea of like hasn't lost the job yet. Mm-hmm. Kevin Biggio, again, I know it's spring training. He's hitting 368.
Yeah, he's putting up great numbers.
He's not gonna be the odd man out, especially when Addison Barger hitting 100 points lower right now on his batting average. So as far as like who might make the team out of camp, unless Kevin Biggio has some bad tacos in the next couple weeks, I just can't see Addison Barger taking Kevin Biggio's job. Now, is it going to be a short leash once the game gets started? That's another question, right? Like, come April, we'll see where Kevin Biggio's numbers fall. But for now, there's no way Kevin Biggio loses his spot, given how much this front office loves Kevin Biggio, looks healthy, and he's performing. It'd be a different story if he's hitting 105 right now and carried that slow bat into the ball season, but I don't know.
Isn't it exciting that we are at a point in the Blue Jays development and their trajectory towards a World Series? Isn't it exciting that we're talking about who the 26th man on this roster is going to be? Yeah. Like, we're not sitting here, Adam, like we would have been in 2020 and being like, who plays second base? Who's going to win this left field position, right?
Guess what? We're probably going to have that conversation in about 12 months about third base. We're going to be saying, who is going to play third for us next year?
Yeah,
that's a bummer of a topic that I don't really want to talk about today. Let's enjoy Matt Chapman while he's here.
I like to be a little delusional and dream that this front office has a plan and that this is a problem that fans are a little more concerned about than they are, because they've already got their eyes on exactly the pathway they're going to take to replacing Matt Chapman. Maybe it's with Matt Chapman.
Did you ever travel as a young child, spend holidays on vacation in another province or country or anything like that?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Not another country, but another province.
I never traveled. Dirt poor growing up. But I did live in a touristy community. So I had travelers come to me. Point I'm getting at, sometimes when you're young and in love, you begin a romance with a with another person that you know is short-lived, and you know that at the end of the week, you're moving back to Canada, or they're moving back to Ontario, or whatever the case may be.
Or you're going back to Grand Prairie, Alberta. Yes, I
Yeah,
get it.
Right. So
you can't stay in Red Deer forever, Adam.
Can't stay in Red Deer forever, but there's no, you know, you got to enjoy your time with that person, even though you know it has an expiry date, I guess is what I'm getting at. And that's where we're at with Matt Chapman.
Yeah, right?
We had it with Marcus Semien 2 years ago. We've got it with Matt Chapman now. Let's just enjoy the 48 home runs he's going to give us and wish him all the luck with his $300 million contract with the Mets. So,
no, I you summed that up very well. You are the king of
stupid
of examples.
Stupid analogies.
Analogies, yeah.
All right. Should we
Did you have anything to add on this 26-man roster spot that I'm sure we're going to talk about three or four more times before it's decided?
No, I think Barger is the more likely guy to contribute in a real way in 2023. But I also think that he is the furthest away from quote-unquote breaking camp with the team. So
I would agree with that. And I think that we very well could see Addison Barger taking regular at bats come mid-May. I just don't see it happening out of the gate. But that has nothing to do with him or what he's doing. I think the Blue Jays will go the safe route to start the season and then see how he does in AAA. I like what this front office has done over the last year with kind of forcing guys to force their hand to give them an opportunity. And we saw it with Alek Manoah, and this is going to transition into the next topic perfectly, but we saw them do it with Alek Manoah. They made him dominate to a level where they're like, well, I mean, We probably should give him more time to develop, but he is the best option right now, performance-wise, in the minor leagues. Right? So they weren't forcing it. Let's talk Ricky Tiedemann. Let's talk the pitching lab. Now, I'd never even heard of the term pitching lab. We had Jeff Blair on the show about a month ago from Blair and Barker, and he brought up the pitching lab and that there's a little bit of a turn in the way the Blue Jays are developing their pitchers, which is that they are less focused on the in-game experience and getting those innings in the minor leagues, and they are more focused on developing a game plan, getting them feeling good with their pitches, and moving from there. Alek Manoah was the beginning of this experiment. You look at his minor league innings, he doesn't have a lot of them. Ricky Tiedemann, same thing. We watched him in after his draft year go right into the complex. He did not go to the Florida Coast League right out of the bat. He ended the last month or two after the draft just in Florida, in Dunedin, at the complex, throwing and getting his feet wet. Last year, we watched him cruise through the minor league system. He finished at Double-A, right? Or did he actually wind up pitching a couple games in Triple-A at the end of the year?
I'll have a look here.
Yeah, I'll put you on the spot here. Now, I bring this up because it was just announced yesterday that Brandon Barriera, who on the Blue Jays' top prospects, ranks number two behind Ricky Tiedemann. He got a big boost. He was drafted last year. He did the exact same thing Ricky Tiedemann did the year before and was put into the Dunedin complex, get his feet wet, get comfortable with his pitches. He's going to start, and it was just announced that he's going to start with the Florida Coast League this spring. So we very well could see him follow the same trajectory as Ricky Tiedemann. I'll let you answer this question I send.
Ricky Tiedemann pitched 6 games in Dunedin, 8 games in Vancouver, 4 games in New Hampshire. That was his career minor league record so far.
That's right. So they moved Tiedemann fast. Once he started dominating, they pushed him.
Yep.
I think we're going to see Brandon Barriera in a Canadiens jersey this season. I think we might even watch him do just like Ricky Tiedemann did. If he dominates, if he does well, I think we will see them push him maybe all the way to Double-A.
So the numbers for Ricky Tiedemann last year in Dunedin, 30 innings pitched. He had a whip of 0.8. Awesome. ERA of 1.8. Moved to Vancouver. ERA of 2.39. The whip went up a bit, but still 0.929. Amazing. And then with New Hampshire, ERA 2.45 and a whip of 0.818.
I think it's important to take into consideration what they're doing with these kids too, because Ricky Tiedemann, 20 years old, or did he just turn 21?
Ricky Tiedemann is 163 days away from his birthday, August 18th, 2002.
Okay.
He's 20 right now.
So he's 20.
Yes, he is 20.
Everyone listening is like, boy, these guys really could have done this, done all this research before they turned the mic on. No, not how we go. Ricky Tiedemann, 20 years old, was pushed as a young kid. So if you look at the general ages, right, the Florida Coast League, so low A is going to be the average age of around 21, 22. And then the same is going to go for high A. Once you hit double A, the average age is 24. So taking a kid who's 20 and making him feel comfortable with all his peers, letting him dominate for 30 innings, then moving him up to Vancouver, which is going to be the first taste of baseball with a crowd. Right. Every guy we talk to, Adam, they're always like, whatever you bring up, where's your favorite place to play in the minor leagues? They're always like, oh, well, Vancouver, obviously, Nat Bailey Stadium. It's 7,000 people come out on a Tuesday when you just get called up from Dunedin, where you are literally playing in front of 30 people. Right. So Vancouver gives them a taste of playing baseball in front of people.
On rare occasions, they played college ball in front of a
Yes.
Like a real stadium full. They happen to go somewhere where baseball's big and the college supports it. Otherwise, this is their first taste of
playing in front of people.
Yeah. They're like, whoa, this is what Oakland experiences every day. You know? So that's pretty 7, good.
7,000 people. Yeah. And then you push that 20-year-old out of his comfort zone now and put him in Double A, where he's facing guys that are on the verge of either Triple A or the bigs. And to see what they're doing with consistency, to watch them do this with Tiedemann and now with Barriera, like, it's kind of exciting, especially when you talk about the old adage of you don't want to waste bullets in the minor league. Everybody knows, and we're going to knock on all the wood and put a voodoo hex out there against bad tacos. But it's, if you're a pitcher, it's just a countdown until you have an arm injury.
Yep.
Some guys are lucky and it's much closer to the end of their career. But I mean, we can count dozens of guys playing in the major leagues right now who have had two Tommy John surgeries. So having the Blue Jays take this new approach of getting these guys' arms ready, getting them feeling comfortable, and pushing them through the minor leagues a little bit quicker, especially with these top prospects that they've been drafting out of high school. Again, another little twist on their normal way of doing things with pitcher development, which was to go for the higher floor, right? Which is always a college pitcher because they've just got more experience. But Keegan Mathieson on Monday talked about this with us, right? That they're going big game hunting when it comes to pitching. Yes, they are prepared to have those guys just fall right off, and maybe the floor isn't what you would hope, but they are going after the guys who just, there's something about them where if things pan out, the ceiling is high. And you got to love to see that. Anything to add there?
No, let's move on. Let's talk.
He's not the best co-host in the biz for nothing, folks.
Let's talk young players, long contracts. Wander Franco. That's one. Julio Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Ronald Acuna Jr. Is he? He's not young anymore, but he was when he signed his contract.
Yes, he was. All of these contracts have been an attempt by the organization involved to lock up a superstar for under value, under league value. That's why these organizations are doing this. It's risky. Look at the contract that Julio Rodriguez just signed. I know that you've got these contracts up right now, so let's talk them a little bit before we get into what the Rays are doing.
J-Rod signed 12 years, $209 million. I'll take that. Wander Franco with the Rays, 11 years, $182 million. Back-end loaded, by the way. So it's $1 million last year, $2 million this year, $2 million next year, $8 million the year after that, and then he's got to be traded, right? Because then it's into double digits, and now you're 15, yeah. 22, 25 for the next 8 years. Ronald Acuna Jr., 8 years, $100 million. He was one of the...
He was probably first, the first...
Him and
if not
LB,
the first. Yeah.
Was he Albies?
Yeah.
Did that happen at close to the same time? Was it the same
offseason
that happened?
Very close to the same time. And this has kind of become Alex Anthopoulos's MO, is locking up these guys to cost assurity and long-term contracts, locking in your core.
Now, hypothetically, Ronald Acuna Jr., Ozzie Albies, panned out.
Yes.
More or less.
I mean, Ronald Acuna Jr. panned out so much, Adam, he fired his agent over it.
Yes. Yes. All I'm saying is, look, with this being the like first, let's just call it the first wave of these, like, lock them up early before we're for sure that they're stars, but we're confident they are, if they had not worked out, right? Now, Jared Kelenic is a guy's name that I bring up a lot with the Mariners. Yes. Was their top prospect. Really struggled with his MLB debut. Now, tip of the cap to him, does look good this spring training. Jared Kelenic with the Mariners. So credit where credit is due. Looks like he's made an adjustment to his swing. Again, it's just spring training, but it's some positive.
Better to do good at spring than bad at spring, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if Jared Kelenic had have been the first, right, where they're like, hey, we got this top prospect, whatever the case may be, and they gave him 8 years, $150 million. Do you think the rest of the league follows suit and goes, that worked out great? Or do you think they go, oh, that was a bold strategy, kind of screwed them, let's never try that? Like, I just wonder if because the first two that were attempted have more or less worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
If that's where everybody else is like, well, that's a small sample size, but it's a good sample. So let's try it. Let's roll the dice with Julio. Let's roll the dice with Wander Franco. Let's,
like, everyone wasn't throwing praise at the Rays and the Mariners when they re-upped these young superstars. Like, there was a lot of people who were like, holy crap, like, these guys have played half a season and they're locking them up long term. So we talk about this to bring up a Jeff Passan tweet from yesterday. We are all well aware that the Tampa Bay Rays operate differently because they have to. They are a small market team. They are a team that is always going to be on the bottom half of the 30 Major League Baseball teams when it comes to budget. And yet they have managed to find a way to be a playoff team almost every single year. Even when they have a down year, like last year, they're still a wild card team. It is incredibly impressive what this team does. So this is from Jeff Passan yesterday. Among the many long-term extension conversations being had this spring, one worth noting, top third base prospect Curtis Meade of the Tampa Bay Rays. Meade ended last season at AAA and is a candidate to arrive in the big leagues this season, regardless of whether a deal happens. Adam, Curtis Meade is the top prospect, top fielding prospect for the Tampa Bay Rays. He's their second top prospect, and he's a top 100 prospect according to Baseball America. He's 21 years old. But my friend, he has played zero major league games. The confidence you've got to have in your player development system, the confidence that you have to have in the kid himself, 21 years old, to talk about a long-term extension where you're buying out our beers and you're adding contract time, like, it's never been done. It's never been done for good reason.
Good reason.
Where are you at on this? I mean, this is something where maybe the Rays can lock this kid up for $100 million, being they haven't even seen him on a big league field yet. But that's still a shit ton of risk, no?
Well, have we seen the numbers they're talking right now with Curtis Meade? Or is this... haven't seen numbers. So this could be much lower. This could be 10 years, $50 million. Right?
It could be.
Like, maybe
it's
that's
an interesting strategy. So the strategy here would be literally leveraging this kid's confidence against himself, sort of thing, right? Because the Rays are probably like, for $50 million, if we can lock him up for 10 years. And on his side, he's like, $50 million, I mean, that's life-changing. That sets me up for life. It probably sets my family up for life if you do it right.
Yeah, and I'm just pulling that number out of thin air, right? But, like, that's, you know, for a simple math standpoint, that's, like, that feels like a $50 million. Yeah, is life changing for a guy who, like, statistically, most prospects won't ever sniff the major league.
No, no.
Right. So, yeah, you're one weird collision away. You're one weird sliding into second away from never getting.
And again,
look at a guy like
baseball contracts. This isn't a football contract where he busts his knee out and he's screwed, right? This is a guaranteed. So
yeah, I mean, there is also that, like, AAA to the MLB to MLB, sorry, is the hardest jump to make. So a guy can crush at AAA and then still struggle at Major League Baseball level. I mean, it's
Jared Kelenic is a great example, man. And it's not even like Kelenic is a write-off. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe if you look at it and Kelenic does wind up panning out, maybe locking a guy up long term.
By the time
he's
28 and winning MVPs and you're paying him $5 million a year for the next 3 years,
you deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Well, here's how would you feel if the Blue Jays locked up Addison Barger for 10 years?
I don't like it.
You don't like it? I'm okay for $50 million. I'm kind of okay with it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm really on the fence as to how I feel about this at all. I don't know how. I feel like the possibility of the player being incredibly unhappy either way is just.
Well, that's a
so
real
much
thing
bigger that, there.
That's what I keep going back to with what's going on with Atlanta is.
Yeah,
we, you know, a lot of Alex Anthopoulos believers out there, right? I know Joel, every time we have him on the show, he's like, Alex Anthopoulos is a prodigy and he's saving baseball and he's such a brilliant, anyways.
And he, like, is, he's great.
For I'm now, but on, again, but we yeah. can't evaluate this project when it's halfway through its lifespan. Like, mm-hmm. we're starting to see cracks in the veneer, right? Yes. Like, Acuña Jr. seems unhappy. Is that going to get rectified? Is there going to be a contract renegotiation at some point to keep him happy? I don't know. I mean, injuries are starting to creep into some of those contracts now, right? Yes. Like, Acuña Jr. has missed some time. How much more time does he play in the lifespan of his contract? How many games are missed, right? Ozzie Albies, another one where it's like, looked amazing. I don't know if it was injuries or the performance drop last year, but I remember looking at his contract and thinking that's not the best. So he hit 247 last year, 8 home runs, 64 games played for Ozzie Albies. If that's what the rest of his contract looks like, it's not a deal anymore.
No.
Right.
And so, then all you're saying is things like, well, there's cost to surety.
That's the silver lining, I guess. Right. But, you know, now you're paying for, I don't know. It's just, it's way too early. Like, it looks good initially. As a fan, you got to be happy because you're like, hey, I can get an Ozzie Albies jersey. And I know that I can wear it to games for the next.
And there is that to be said for it. Yes.
I mean, I don't know. It's
when I read that passing tweet, my eyes did get wide.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, what are the Rays up to here? Like, this is weird. I don't know if I like it, but the amount of times that I have said the exact words when the Rays have done something that I say, I don't know if I like it. And then years later, I'm like, the Rays are geniuses. How do they keep doing it? The league plummets their player system. They plummet their organization for executives. They take their scouting, their player development, and still they manage to pull it out. So who knows,
look,
man?
I'll say this for the Rays. You got to play the hand you're dealt. And if this front office has it clear cut from ownership that, like, look, this is the most we are spending. This is it. The Rays are creative in finding solutions. So
yes, they are.
Tip of the hat to them. You know, like, you know, when I was dating, I was not a handsome guy like I am now. So I had to play the sense of humor card.
Right.
Right. Some of us have to lean on our sense of humors, not our charming good looks, which thank God I have now for my wife's sake.
Yeah.
You know, no, turned out I was a late bloomer.
I'm in the same boat. I'm in the same boat. Of course. Thank goodness for my wife's sake that I'm so hot.
Yeah. You know, really keeps them around and happy. All right.
I am interested to see if this does come to fruition and the Rays. I mean, obviously it's just rumors right now, but the fact that they're even talking to a minor league guy who has never had any big league experience about extending him, it's wild. It's wild. All right, let's talk the World Baseball Classic before we get out of here. Obviously that started yesterday. The Netherlands and Cuba went to it. The Netherlands, man.
What?
You just forget. What is it? I'm going to mispronounce it. Curaçao? Is that the name of the Dutch island there where it's like Bogarts and Profar and all these guys? Because my buddy, a friend of the show, Juan Forno, right? He's been on, he's living in Seattle, been on Long Toss a couple times talking about the Mariners. But he messaged me and he was just like, bro, what is up with Cuba? How did Netherlands do it? And I was like, man, you got to check this Netherlands lineup out. Like, this is, they're stacked. They look good. So that's kind of cool. Honestly, this is a tweet from friend of the show, Lewis Foster, right? Big Australian righty. He's actually worked his way up up the ranks of Ontario baseball. And he tweeted, the World Baseball Classic is amazing. You've got all-stars, ancient veterans, which is so true. Some of these teams, it's just like 43-year-old ex-major leaguer that you're like, oh yeah, I forgot he existed. He's like, you've got a teenager throwing 103 miles an hour, Jonas Cespedes, plumbers from the Netherlands, a guy named Tom DeBlock, a guy with a horn, and this game won't wrap up till 2 a.m. Let's ride. So honestly, World Baseball Classic, there are lots of people who are right into it, and it is a cool tournament. Team Canada gets going on Friday, I think it is. Maybe it's Saturday they play Great Britain. We are actually going to sit down with World Baseball Classic Team Canada member, Damiano Pomagiani. Hey. I didn't mispronounce it. Yeah, we're sitting down with him tomorrow. He actually has some Alberta roots. He played for Vauxhall, the academy there, the high school academy, baseball academy. He was born in Venezuela, moved to Surrey, BC at 5 years old. So he's got roots in BC, and then he moved to Alberta. He was drafted by the Blue Jays in 2018, chose then to go to college and re-enter the draft, and then crazily enough, got drafted by the Blue Jays again in 2021. He is going to be a dude that we are all talking about next year. I truly believe that. So, he has the most power of any guys not named Aroldis Martinez in this minor league system. Plays third base as his natural position. Did incredibly well with the Vancouver Canadians last year after getting called up. I think we're going to see him start in Double A this year. But nonetheless, Damiano Pomagiani joining us tomorrow. And of course, the World Baseball Classic is a fun little tournament. We all cross our fingers that the guys that are participating don't wind up getting injured. It is a weird tournament for that sort of thing because some of the stars are opting out, but some of the stars, look at Shohei Ohtani, right? Playing for Team Japan, one of the biggest stars in the world. We talked about this before we hit record. You're not the biggest WBC guy, eh?
I want to be.
I know, right?
When they first like announced the WCB was going to be a thing, like whatever, a dozen years ago or, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I was so pumped on this. I was like, this is great. Because I wanted baseball to be an Olympic sport so bad. I just can't get into it. I just don't know. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know if it's that Canada isn't a contender and if that sucks the enthusiasm out of it.
Yeah.
Or if it's the time of year where it's like, I'm more excited about the Jays ramping up, or if it's the, I don't want to say lack of star power, because there's loads of stars there.
Yeah.
Right. And there's just something about it I have a hard time getting behind, and I can't really put my finger on it.
I would love to hear all of you in the walk-off community that are watching this right now. What do you think about the WBC? Are you going to be watching it? Are you going to be paying attention to it? I'm going to be watching it. I'm going to do my best to watch it. I think I mentioned this to you, Adam, before we hit record. I'm not super excited about it, but I'm hoping that as I start to watch it, it sucks me in a little bit. I know I didn't wind up watching that Cuba-Netherlands game yesterday, which I was planning on doing, but I'm hoping I get sucked in, because it is a fun tournament and there are people who take it super seriously. The Dominican Republic, I mean, look at that DR team, right? And these guys care, man. They want to bring a championship back to the Dominican, right? I mean, Vladdy's still on the fence if he's going to play, even though he announced he wasn't going to, right? Like, these guys want to represent their country and it's very cool. I just wish that I could get a little bit more excited about it, but we'll see if that ramps up as the tournament ramps up.
You ever watch the Little League World Series, Scott?
I have, yes.
You need to watch the Little League World Series more often, because it is everything you're describing, but way more. The emotions are so much higher.
Yeah.
And it's like WHL hockey, where it's like, the skill is very much there, but the cleanliness isn't. Like, there are right. just so many little mistakes that happen that just really, like, open the game up. You know, like, this is one thing with, like, you know, baseball has all these analytics and everybody's positioned exactly where they're supposed to be. And, you know, the pitchers know exactly the scouting report on every batter they're facing, and the batters know the pitching report on every pitcher they're facing. And Little League World Series, there isn't any of that. It's just like, kids are out of position, errors are being made, but at yeah. the same time you're getting like diving catches and like home runs, and yeah. the emotions are like level 10, and it's like, it's so cool. And I mean, you talk about people taking it seriously, Little League World Series gets taken seriously. It's
I love it.
That's so cool. So anyways, that's my promo for the Little League World Series this year.
There you
go.
Tune
in if you can.
All right. So let's end on a quick tease for interviews coming up. I know we mentioned Damiano Parmigiani. He's going to be joining us tomorrow. I'm not sure exactly when that interview is going to be put out, but it'll be soon, just because he's going to be talking the WBC and stuff. So we wish to stay somewhat relevant. We're also going to be releasing on Thursday pitching prospect for the Toronto Blue Jays, Devereaux Harrison. He ended last season with the Vancouver Canadiens. Great kid. We had a really fun conversation with him. So that will be out on Thursday. And then sometime next week, we're probably going to release Nazwell Paulino, who was the first dude to sit down with us with a translator. Mm-hmm. His English was impressive. But you can tell that he's English as a second language dude. And the fact that he showed the confidence to sit down with us was very, very cool. So I'm excited about it. It was a learning experience for us too, sitting there with the translator and being like, mm-hmm. okay, yeah. Like, because he knew what we were saying, but then he would answer in Spanish. Like, he would always, like, he knows English well enough that he understands it, but his communication is, he's still working on that. So that was a really cool interview. Nazwell Paulino, another pitching prospect in the Blue Jays organization. And we do have a couple other prospects lined up, hopefully in the next couple weeks, that are going to sit down with us. All right, everybody, we'll wrap it up there. If you're a poker player, KK Poker, use the walk-off as your code. It helps us. Plus it gets you free money.
What's the code?
Walk off.
You said use the walk off as right. the code. Sorry. So, okay. Walk at the off. Start of this episode, I had on the on-screen display, use code the walk off. And then you said use code walk off. So I changed it mid-flight because I'm that good. And right. now here you are saying use the walk off when you sign up. And I'm losing it. Is it the MLB or is it MLB? You let me know, Scott. You let me know.
Okay. So now that we've muddied those waters, now that I've muddied those waters, not going to drag you into my mud here, Adam, but yeah, so walk off is the code.
Is it for sure?
Now you're really making me question.
All right, don't sign up for KK Poker until next week when we have the proper code and you can get your proper bonuses. It's what?
It's over
$70 in bonus. It's walk off, he says.
It is walk off. Yeah.
All right. You send them an email and say, could you add the walk off to our code list as well, just in case? All right.
Okay, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate the support. We appreciate the sponsors that support us. And of course, we push you to support those who support us. So there you go. We'll see you Friday for the show. And then again, tomorrow we're releasing the Devereaux Harrison interview. Take care, everybody. Cheers.
Bye, Dad.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drop. Jesus Cracker shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.